This is something that was raised, brought to my attention from a woman who sings in the same choir that I do, and she's asked me if I'll read something out about it, and so I'll do that first before we go over to Sam. So she says, I'm a 61-year-old woman who lives independently and on my own, and I'm very sad about the prospect of losing the wonderful old sawtooth shed, which is Shed 26, and that's sort of, I think, a bit of a done deal. But then she goes on to say, regarding the loss of the station car park, I want to continue going out at night on my own in the safest way possible. That means driving a relatively short distance to the Glanville Railway Station and parking the opposite side to the hotel, and where there's good lighting, and that lighting is on the eastern side of the railway station. I do this quite regularly to go into the city to sports and cultural events, as well as visiting people. And I'd like to keep on doing it, maintaining both my independence and my safety. I would not feel safe to park at night in any other railway station in the area, and I would not want to be going back to my car on the opposite side near the hotel late at night. What I don't understand is why the developer does not want to work with the community, thereby ensuring there is a positive vibe with the new estate. Instead, they're continuing to work against the community, which seems to me to be contrary to good marketing principles, which I would have thought they would understand and be able to implement. So I agree totally.
Mm. All right, well, hopefully we have Sam on the line. Sam, are you there?
Hi, Jordan. Hi, listeners.
Thank you very much for coming on A Piece of the Action to have a chat about the Glanville train, or the car park at the Glanville train station. So I believe that it's a little bit difficult to get direct information, but how did the community find out that the car park was set to be closed?
Well, thank you, Jordan. I'm not even sure if the community has found out, because as far as I know, internally I represent the I'm the secretary of the Port Adelaide Bicycle User Group, but we have a strong interest in all forms of active transport, walking, public transport and so on. So I'm not sure the community actually does know about it as yet, or has been informed, because as far as I know, the only public information that's been made available are the half dozen plastic signs that have been wired to the posts and fences in the eastern car park itself. Right. As far as I know, there's been no announcements in the media or the local paper or elsewhere.
Right. So, yeah, without consultation, they've decided to close this car park. So what sort of effects do you think that's going to have on the community if they do, in fact, go ahead and close that car park?
Well, it seems to be slated, there's no definite date, but it seems to be slated for development, closure sometime this week. They indicated that it would be closed 2 weeks from when the signs went up, and the signs went up about 2 weeks ago. You have to kind of understand, I suppose, the location of the car park, of the station. It's bordered on three sides by main roads on two sides, and by the harbour and the new housing development area known as Fletcher Slip on the third side. You can sort of imagine a triangular shape with the railway line running through it north to south. On the western side, there is a small car park, very, very narrow, essentially like one lane width, that has 25 car parks and a couple of extra disability car parks. That's the one that Melody was referring to as being next to the hotel, and she would feel unsafe parking there.
Mm.
Also on the western side, there's a couple of footpath accesses to the railway station and a bus interchange. And all of that is bordered by Causeway Road, which is an extremely busy, heavy transport route with no capacity at all for parking at the curbside. On the northern side of the railway station precinct is Semaphore Road, the Semaphore Road west-east, in fact, which is actually a very similar road. Heavy transport, no capacity for cars to stop, lots and lots of traffic. The only way to get access to the car park to drop people off or to pick people up by car is the only easy way, I should say, is the Eastern car park, because it has 35 car parking spaces plus room for probably an extra 20 or 30 cars in informally parked cars. Wow. And that's where most of the drop-offs and pick-ups in the morning and evening occur. And with the closure of the car park, those drop-offs and pick-ups are arbitrarily just going to be cut off. That's one major impact.
So there could even be safety issues there if people are being forced to pull over on the two roads you're talking about, that as you mentioned, are heavy transport routes. You can imagine that getting a bit hairy if there's 15 cars stopping to drop people off or pick them up.
Absolutely. It'd be suicidal, really, because there's not even room for a bike lane at that point along there. If you tried to do drop-offs from the Causeway Road side, you're facing a very narrow entrance driveway to the smaller car park and a 180-degree turn. Very inconvenient, very difficult. To drop people off into the bus interchange, basically you're taking the place of buses, which come through about every 5 to 10 minutes. So that in itself is somewhat fraught. I've dropped my wife off that way, and it's often, you know, it's quite an anxiety-inducing process.
I can imagine.
Yeah, look, the basic point here is that we've got a heavily used and highly valued station precinct, with well over half of it being closed to public access arbitrarily without any sort of public consultation, any adequate public notice. And as far as the community and we know, no plan for the future, no plan to develop, to improve the truck station precinct, to offer alternative car parks. And incidentally, that Eastern car park is crammed full on a weekday, so it's very heavily used. All the car parks on both sides of the rail line are taken up, you know, morning to evening on a weekday. So it's not as if the station precinct is underutilised, it's heavily utilised. Mm. So it's extremely surprising that there seems to be no plan for the future has been shared with the community to provide alternative drop-off and pick-up areas, to provide alternative car parking, indeed to provide improved station, you know, basic improvements to the station precinct, which is pretty run down. The signs that have been put up do talk about a footpath from Semaphore Road being retained, sandwiched in between the railway line and the new development, fences of the new development. However, that footpath is extremely substandard. It's, you know, like most footpaths in the area, very heavily affected by tree roots. It would pass no disability access criteria. You know, that badly needs improvement. There appears to be no plan to do so. So we're just concerned on many fronts that this is a premature closure by DPTI being prodded along, apparently, by the planning schedule for the developers, who really, I suppose, want to not waste any time and they want to build as soon as possible. So we're just very concerned that the public is going to suffer. And in the current climate, whatever plan DPTI might have to improve the precinct, in the current climate, that's going to be at the very least, 12 to 24 months away. Mm. 1 to 2 years. That's what we're concerned about. There appears to be no future planning.
And does that mean then that there'll be so many more cars on the road?
I don't know quite what it means in terms of traffic. I suppose very well, if people decide they've got no alternative to go to the city or points in between, it'll certainly mean people stopping to use public transport and driving their cars instead. Mm. Of course, yeah. Maybe a few will take up cycling now that the Outer Harbour Greenway is open, which would be a great benefit. But I think the point is that people who use public transport have their transport schedules pretty well worked out. Mm. When the state government reduced bus services recently between the port and the city, you know, there was a tremendous dislocation to people's lives because people build their daily schedules around public transport access. And so, you know, I'm not going to say, well, tough, you can ride your bike or something along the Greenway. I think as a bicycle advocate, that would be a great outcome, but not everyone can do that. Not everyone feels comfortable to doing that. So I think we just have to respect the fact that people who elect to use public transport do so for very good reasons. Yeah. And I say this because I note that the current government and Minister Knoll have put a hold on the Port Dock Railway Station because they seem to think that life in heavy rail doesn't have much future and that they're much more interested in road-based, you know, technology-driven transport options. Well, you know, who knows when those sorts of things are going to be available? 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? It's all in the future. What I'm concerned about, what the Port Bug is concerned about, is what we can do right now, this week, this coming week, to try and retain access to a valuable community service.
Absolutely. And so I'm guessing that DIPTI hasn't released any information to the public on this at all?
Not as far as I know, Jordan. Not as far as I know. We've written to the minister last week. Immediately we became aware of this closure. We wrote him a nice letter which we sought a response and some sort of delay and some sort of better process. We've also written to the local MPs and the council certainly are aware of our concerns. But no, we've had no response at all from anybody, I'm afraid.
That doesn't provide a lot of confidence that there is some sort of plan moving forward. If there's not even willing, you'd think if they did have a plan up their sleeve that would be the time
they'd
to
be showing it,
to get people to have a look at it.
There have been various diagrams that have appeared online over the years on the, you know, like the Port Adelaide precinct plan, which show 2 to 3 storey car parks or housing development surrounding the railway station on all sides, which is an extraordinary kind of approach to take, given that there's community-built, community-installed parks around plantations around the station precinct. But those sorts of things take decades to happen. You know, talking about what the Port Bay was talking about is how do we retain valuable access for the community over the next weeks and months while some sort of consultation process can be put in place?
Absolutely. That seems like the least they could do. I saw a picture, as you mentioned, in the Port Bug on the website, and there seemed to be a logo in the bottom corner of the signs that have been posted in the car park. And I recognise that name because it's the same company that's currently demolishing the Shed 26 that the community's worked
right.
So hard.
The closures are actually the responsibility of DPTI, the Department for Planning, Transport, Infrastructure, of which Minister Knoll is the minister responsible for that. So DPTI are actually doing the closures. But it's been driven, obviously, by the development schedule for Cedar Woods, which is the Fletcher's Slip area developer. They're a national company, Cedar Woods. So I have spoken to the development manager for Fletcher's Slip, and he just clarified for me, you know, the extent to which the housing development will take up the car park space, which will take up almost completely the car park space. In fact, it seems that the Renewal SA has sold the entire space to Cedar Woods for a very nominal sum, right up to the boundary of the railway line. They even own the footpath that they're planning to retain, which is an extraordinary kind of alienation, in my view, of public property.
Absolutely.
Extraordinary opposed to public property.
Yeah.
So are you happy for us to distribute this broadly through social media?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, yeah. I mean, the Port Adelaide Bicycle User Group and also other community groups, we're not anti-development. We're very keen on, the port moving forward with investments and so on, but we're also keen that investment serves the needs of the community. So we're not being oppositional defiant about this. What we're trying to do is simply get the ear of the developers and the government and help them understand that they need to work with the community. As you said at the outset, the port residents are a very strong-willed bunch, and they
have been for a very long time too.
and they know which side their bread's buttered on, and they have a very strong motivation to work with government rather than against them. So all we'd be doing is appealing for government to recognise that and come clean and work with the community and not deprive the community of a valuable resource. This whole thing seems to be driven by commercial agendas and schedules.
Absolutely.
Rather than any acknowledgement of the community's real day-to-day needs. Simple as that.
Yes, I think you've nailed it.
Yes, it's community needs should be put in front of the pockets of developers, I'd say, is a pretty universally believed thing around in the community.
The footpath, I'm assured the footpath will remain open, but as I said, it's currently extremely substandard. There are tree root, protrusions all over it, broken bricks missing, all sorts of things. And, I worked for over 30 years in disability, so I know a hazard when I see one. And you certainly couldn't safely bring an electric wheelchair or manual wheelchair along there, especially in the dark. It's
Badly
needs rebuilding.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying, I just feel that everything needs to slow down and there needs to be a stage of... It seems like there's several stages of public information and consultation that have been missed out in this process.
Yeah.
The public needs to know something about planning for the future. They need to know what temporary alternative options are going to be provided. They need to know how safe pickups and drop-offs can continue to occur. They need to know how safe disability access can be retained, how public safety can be retained as well. So there are many things that need attention in this process that seem to be missing. That's all I can say. Complete absence, or almost complete absence of decent information, that's all we can say.
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks so much for ringing in.
You're most welcome. Thank you very much.